those of us who are getting a little bit older, and I guess I have to lump myself in that group now, Christmas often brings a sense of nostalgia. We look back at Christmases past and where we were many Christmases ago. And for those of us who have children, we think about where we were with them many Christmases ago. It took us, as most of you know, it took Lisa and I many years to have a child. And for many years when I would read the gospel on Christmas Eve, I would read it with some emotion as I read the phrase, Mary gave birth to her firstborn son. And I would wonder, is a year going to come when we are going to have our firstborn son? Or is that maybe not in the cards for us? And we would wonder, and we would cry, and we would feel empty. And there are lots of people at Christmas time, people who are wondering, and they're thinking, why is life not going quite the way I envisioned that it would go? And if you're one of those people, the message is, the greatest hope comes from God. God has a plan for every life, and we may not understand that plan, or we may not understand that plan at all times, but if we just stay with God and keep in that direction, God doesn't disappoint us. Life disappoints us. Sometimes we disappoint ourselves. We disappoint each other. But in the end, God does not disappoint us. God is faithful, the ones that are faithful to Him. And then the year came that we were expecting Nicholas to come. And he was actually expected to come on December 23rd. And that year that happened, people asked him, what are you going to do for services on Christmas if he comes, you know, the 24th? And I said, he's not going to come the 24th. He's going to come in advance of that because God knows that I want to read the gospel lesson about Mary's firstborn son and have tears of joy, and God's not going to make me wait another year for that. So Nicholas was born on December 10th. And every year since then, including this one, I get a little emotional reading that phrase, and I thank God for the one child that we have. And when Nicholas was a baby, his second Christmas, his first Christmas, he was sleeping the whole day, as newborns do. The second Christmas, he was into Christmas lights. So we would go around the neighborhood, and we would stop at every house, and he would gaze at the lights. And for him, he thought, Christmas was the season that everybody decorates their house. And the next Christmas after that, he was tearing open his gifts and he was really enamored with the wrapping paper. And so he thought that Christmas was the holiday where we could make a mess. Mommy doesn't get so mad at us. By the next Christmas, he had discovered that there was an opportunity for material gain at Christmas. So he made a list of things for Santa Claus and for us to get him, and Christmas became a time of material gain for him. And as we get older, our idea of Christmas changes. In fact, when we become adults, we think of Christmas as a season of material loss. Because in January, when we hit the credit card bill, we say, oh, I lost the deal. And then we say, I don't even like the gifts, the balls, the lines, the bills, and the decorating and the cooking, and then Christmas becomes a season of frustration. But Christmas has nothing to do with any of these things, as we all know. And as we get older, and again, I'm putting myself kind of in the older bracket, the first thing I did when I came to church early this morning for the early service was, I just thank God that I'm still alive on this Christmas. And I asked God for the gift of health. I don't really need much else material in my life. Just health for me, health for my family, health for all of you. And the ability to come back next Christmas, and the next Christmas, and the next Christmas, for many more Christmases. And to use those Christmases in health and in happiness. That's the real meaning of Christmas. When we think about the gifts, is we think about God's gift to us. Now, this question is directed to the crowd that's from 10, that's 8 to 15. How many people have heard of the group One Direction? Let's go. Confession here. All right. Now, when you hear of that group, you think of whatever you think of. So now you're waiting. Now you're curious what I'm going to say next. See, at Christmas, there was One Direction. There was one thing that provided that One Direction. What was that thing? Provided One Direction for everybody.
Star.
All right, it wasn't the rock band. Star. And everyone saw that star, and they went in one direction. And what direction were they going in? Where were they going in their one direction? Where? See the baby Jesus. And who went in the one direction? The shepherds. The Magi. The Magi took them 2 years to get there. But it was more than that. The animals went there. All the stars in the heavens bowed their heads. The earth itself, the trees bowed their heads. The animals, the cave, everything realized, everything that God made, realized that something special was happening. That God the Creator, God the Almighty, came down from heaven and took his place in the creation. Now, there were two categories of people that did not go in that direction that night. And those two categories of people were the busy people of Bethlehem. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people there. And it was loud and boisterous. And they were too busy. They somehow missed the multitude of angels in the nighttime sky. Somehow missed that. And there was another category of people who didn't go. And that was King Herod, people like him, that were mean, jealous, and had no humility at all. So you don't have to be rich or famous or powerful to go in that one direction of Jesus Christ. You don't have to be any of those things. All it takes is a little bit of time, a little bit of effort, a little bit of humility. It takes a little bit of trust. Magic. It takes a little bit of gratitude, like the shepherds. I was saying earlier this morning that in our men's group, we're watching this video series called The Truth Project. And in our last video, they were talking about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And this was a concept that was ran around down everyone's throat when they were in high school and college. Everyone knew the hierarchy of needs, your food, your emotions. And the highest thing on the hierarchy of needs was self-actualization. The highest thing you could achieve in this life was a sense of yourself. Which, at the time, like all college students, I bought into that. But you realize, as a middle-aged adult, that that is the epitome of arrogance. How can the highest thing there be yourself? The highest thing on the hierarchy of needs is belief and hope in something greater than yourself. To put a higher level than yourself. God is the top of the hierarchy of needs. Because as you go through life, Christmas after Christmas after Christmas, and you move from the lights to the wrapping paper to the material gain to the credit card bills to the thank God I'm still alive, and all your life goes into the rearview mirror, if there's nothing in front of you at the end, then all the things on your hierarchy were really worth nothing. The thing that has to be ahead of you is the hope that comes from our faith in Christ, the thing and the gift he gave us this Christmas. Now, on the subject of gifts, and I just have a couple more comments, and we'll go on our way. On the subject of gifts, the greatest gift that you can receive is the one that you receive at the altar this evening, for those who receive communion. What better thing can there be than you touching our God, our Creator? What greater gift can there be? And the greatest gift that you can give to somebody, the greatest gift you can give to somebody is something that doesn't cost anything, maybe a little bit of time. And that gift is the gift of prayer. There's no greater gift to give somebody else than to raise their name in prayer to our God. It's a great gift when you kneel down in a room and you pray for people, or you're taking a walk, or you're driving your car and you're praying for people. But you know what's an even greater gift? When you grab somebody like your spouse, or your child, or your friend, or your coworker, and you say, I want to pray for you with you. I want to pray for you with you in my presence. I want you to bow your head and allow me to offer your name to our God. That's the greatest gift that you can give to somebody. There are three gifts that God wants from us. I mentioned these in church last Sunday, but let me say them again because we all have short-term memory. What do you mean? And the three gifts that God wants from us are glory, thanksgiving, and worship. We say, for every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from you, the Father of lights. Every good thing in your life is a gift from God. Today is a gift from God. This Christmas is a gift. The rain outside is a gift. Your car is a gift. I'm watching outside, the cars going back and forth. Those are gifts. Everything that's good and perfect, everything that's a gift comes from God. And to you we give up glory and thanksgiving and worship. Glory to God, using the talents God gave us to make something of ourselves and make our world better. Thanksgiving, sense of gratitude toward God for what He has given us. And worship, a sense that something, there is something greater in the world than us. A greater conquest than what we can hold in our hands and put in our pockets. These are the things that give real meaning to life. There are many people that will be sad when Christmas is over. The last present is open, we take the decorations down. The thing is, in the church, Christmas is not one day a year, or 12 days, or even a season. We're supposed to have Christmas all year round. We receive the gifts from God all the time. We're supposed to give the gifts back to God all the time. Every day of the church is supposed to be Christmas. Today's specific day, December 25th, is the day that God showed us the one direction we're supposed to go in by giving us the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, coming into the world to be like us, so that we can be like Him. If you read the writings of St. Athanasius, the saint of the 4th century, with the first ecumenical council, he wrote a big treatise called the Incarnation. He said, God became a man, so the man become like God. Today is the day that God came down from heaven and became like us and gave us this gift of hope that we can become like Him. We're not like taking a glass of water and pouring it out as it goes everywhere in many directions. Today is the day He put the star in the heavens and said, let's all come in one direction to everlasting life, to hope, to joy. And with that, I wish you a Merry Christmas. And may we have many, many more here in this church. And when the time is done, may we have those Christmases together with our Lord and our loved ones in the kingdom of heaven. Thanks for coming today. May we have a great day tomorrow. And may we, again, come together again and again in this joyful feast. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.